Immediately following the fatal shooting of Jonathan Farrell by then-CMPD Officer Randall Carrick in September of 2013, there were differing opinions among law enforcement about whether or not Carrick should have been charged with voluntary manslaughter. That's according to a review of newly released court documents and interviews by the Charlotte Observer. Fred Clayson Kelly is the reporter who wrote the story, and he joins us now. The CMPD and the Mecklenburg County DA's office decided within about 12 hours of the shooting to charge Officer Carrick, but the State Bureau of Investigation disagreed and said Carrick's actions were justified. So why did these two groups end up with different conclusions?
Well, it is clear from the deposition testimony that CMPD commanders gave that they felt that Officer Carrick violated the training that he had received in the department. Officers are allowed to use deadly force when they feel there is the threat of serious bodily injury or death. From their viewpoint, the video did not show that Officer Carrick faced such a situation.
The SBI disagreed with that. Why did they disagree, first of all?
It looks to me like the SBI took a different tact in terms of how they reviewed the evidence in the case. The special agent in charge, Scott Williams, said that he simply tried to look at whether Officer Carrick's account of the shooting and other witness accounts could be proven or disproven. He said he didn't have enough evidence to refute Officer Carrick's account or the other accounts from the two other officers who were on the scene. I think that CMPD took a more proactive stance, and they tried to assess whether the officers' actions met their standards and their training. I think they heavily weighed the fact that Jonathan Farrell was unarmed. They heavily weighed the fact that his hands were visible to the officers, and it was clear to them that he did not have a weapon.
But if the SBI concluded the shooting was justified, why did the Attorney General's office then still go ahead and seek a grand jury indictment against Carrick?
Well, the SBI gathers evidence in cases, but at the end of the day, it is the call of the prosecutor to decide whether to go forward with the case. In this particular case, the original prosecutor, Jim Coleman, decided that he couldn't justify the number of shots that Carrick made in this shooting. He shot Jonathan Farrell 10 times. Jim Coleman decided that was way too many. He said that if he had shot him once or twice, he might have viewed it differently, but 10 was just too much to go to the public and say that's okay.
As you mentioned a moment ago, CMPD reached its conclusion feeling that Carrick violated the department's training, but they did that in just 12 hours. Is that quick for a case
this? It's highly unusual. Most of the rank-and-file officers would tell you it is way too quick to do a thorough investigation. The pace of the investigation has been a point of contention between the CMPD command staff and the rank-and-file officers since this case began. It also has been something that attorneys for Officer Carrick have used to say the CMPD made a rush to judgment. They have said that they couldn't have considered DNA and other physical evidence in that short a time. They couldn't have had the autopsy results back.
What are we to take away from this, these conflicting views from these two law enforcement bodies?
I think the thing that you can take away is the same thing you could take away when everybody saw the video for the first time, that people can see the same evidence and come away with starkly different conclusions. When a lot of people saw the video and they saw Jonathan Farrell, some people said he was just walking casually, posed no threat to anyone. Others saw him jog in the direction of Officer Carrick and thought that was enough to justify the shooting and the killing. But I think that the larger question from a law enforcement perspective is, what standard do we hold officers to in these sorts of situations? When do they pull their guns? When do they pull tasers? When do they decide to use their hands to physically restrain a person? And what approach should they take when they have a report of a serious crime? In this particular case, if you read the depositions, there's a lot of talk about the officers being called to a home invasion, a serious crime. That got some of the officers on high alert. But if you listen to other deposition testimony from the commanders, they will say that no crime was committed. So there needs to be some sort of reconnect between the officers about how they're going to handle those things and what approach they should take even when there's a report of a serious crime.
Did you find anything else that surprised you while doing your reporting about all of this?
It can be a little unnerving when you read the testimony from some of the officers who were involved, you know, when they were asked basic questions about use of force policy. They didn't recollect or know the answer. One of the officers involved who used a taser had never used a taser before, and now he's thrown into a situation where he has to make split-second decisions, and he missed. It's pretty clear also from the deposition testimony that there is a disconnect between the training that the officers thought they were receiving and the training that their superiors thought they were receiving.
Fred Clayson Kelly with the Charlotte Observer, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.